want to welcome you to the radio ministry of Church of the Promise in Iway, Louisiana, with Pastors Dwayne and Cindy Daigle. We're a non-denominational Bible teaching ministry with a passion to help God's people find their place in the kingdom of God. We want you to know that your life counts and that God wants to give you a hope and a future. We trust that you'll be both blessed and challenged by today's message. Here is Pastor Daigle.
The title of this message is When God Brings Us on a Detour. We pray this is a blessing to your life.
You know, how many of you know we can sometimes rationalize, we can reason, and we can say, God, but I'm doing this for you. He says, but if I didn't tell you to do it, or you're doing it in opposition of what I told you to do, then you're not serving me, right? And so sometimes we can do a good thing or think we're doing a good thing, but if it's not being led by the Holy Spirit, it's not a good thing. That's why, just for example, I encourage people, you see a homeless guy on the road holding a sign up. Don't just ignore him, and don't just feel guilty and stop and give him money. Ask the Lord what he wants you to do. Follow the leading of the Lord. And the Lord, sometimes he'll just say, you don't even have to ask him, and you just know, I need to stop. Or you just know, no, I don't need to stop. And I don't always know all the ins and outs of that, but I trust the Lord and I trust his leading. And I know that I don't want to be in opposition to the Lord no matter what. Amen. When it comes to a situation like that, it may be that you are the answer to a prayer and you're going to go and you're going to, you know, be a blessing because God told you to do it. And then there are other times when you're in your desire to be a blessing, you can actually get in between that person and God while he's trying to discipline. Because how many of you know God does discipline? In fact, it says he disciplines those he calls sons. So I don't ever want to be in between God and someone who's going through the discipline of God, because how many of you know his discipline is always to bring life? It's not to kill them, it's to bring them to life. And so I don't want to ever be in the way of God. Now, that's a side note. But so the Holy Spirit kept them from preaching the word. I mean, I thought we were supposed to just go preach the word everywhere, anywhere and everywhere. Well, we are as we're led by the Holy Spirit. All right. Then verse 7. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia. So here we go again. But the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia. Now, how many of you know they were going to do ministry? I mean, they were going to preach the word, to possibly bring healing to the sick. They were trying to get some people saved, make some disciples. But for whatever reason, known to God only in that moment, because it doesn't say that he told them why. It just says the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. And during the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. And by the way, so now he's getting the leading of the Holy Spirit of where he's supposed to go. So during the night, he had that vision. Verse 10, after Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Just another little side note. I remember, and I've shared this story before, because I remember I was so dumbfounded by this. I couldn't believe it. There was a guy who graduated from the Bible college a few years before we did. This guy graduated at the top of his class. He was the most brilliant guy in the class when it came to book work, passing tests, that kind of thing. But he also got a little full of himself. And so when he got out of college, he just figured, I'm God's man of power for the hour. And whatever I do, God's got to bless it, and so on and so forth. And he told me this later as a very broken man whose family was falling apart and everything just going terrible. He told me, he said, I literally opened up a map and told God, wherever my finger points on that map, I know that's where I'm supposed to go, and I'm going to go. And he put his finger on the map, and it landed on a particular city. Well, he went to that particular city. Again, God didn't tell him to do that. He went to that particular city, and in that city, he started losing his family. His kids got on drugs, got involved in gangs and all kinds of stuff. And he had zero effective work for the gospel in any way, shape, or form in that city. Okay. Well, why am I saying that? Because everything we do, and I've said this many times, it doesn't matter what it is, we better be following the leading of the Holy Spirit. Literally, it could be a matter of life and death for you and your family. So Paul knows they get a vision from God, and they know they concluded that God had called them to preach the gospel to the people in Macedonia. So Paul and his companions were, we'll say they were detoured. Their intention wasn't to go there. Their intention was to go somewhere else, to go somewhere else and do something good. But God said, no, that's not what I want for you to do. You know, probably the biggest detour I've ever had in my life, and I was so embarrassed, and some of y'all know this because I've shared this, but I was so embarrassed by this because for years I stood in this pulpit and said, God's going to give us that mall over there. And we're going to have it debt-free. And boy, and I'm just speaking faith, and I just was convinced that that's what we were going to do. I believe that Paul was convinced he was supposed to go to these other places. And so then I'll never forget when all of a sudden my heart changed and I didn't understand it. And all of a sudden I remember saying out of my mouth, if they gave us that mall, I wouldn't want it. And I remember being so confused about that. And I thought, God, this is crazy. This is embarrassing even, because now I'm going to have to tell people somehow I missed this. And I called Pastor Mike and I said, Pastor Mike, I don't know what to do with this. I feel so embarrassed. I thought I was hearing from God, and this is what he told me. If you hadn't heard this before, this is what he told me. He said, I knew from the very moment, first moment you told me about that mall, that God had something different, that he had something better. These are the words he used. He said, God showed me he has a wide open space for you and your church. And that mall was not, so the mall itself, the building, it was for sale. The land was not. It would be a building sitting on the city's land. And he said, I believe God wants to give your church its own land. Well, when he said that, I can't tell you the relief that came over me. And he said, sometimes God will direct you, or you will feel directed to a specific place or a specific thing to put your faith toward, to keep your faith from being stagnant, because if not, you'll just settle for right where you are doing what you're doing and never believe for anything more. And in that moment, that was something impossible to believe for and to put your faith toward so that God could give you what he really wants to give you. I didn't understand that at first. I'm telling you, I was really kind of befuddled by the whole thing. And then lo and behold, God gives us 16 and a quarter acres right across the road. And he paid for it. And it's debt free and all of that kind of stuff. So the point being this, I know what it's like to be at that place where I'm certain that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And I'm doing this for God. And God puts up a detour sign and he goes, nope, not going this way. You're going to go a different way. And so I experienced that personally firsthand, and maybe you have too. So, but Paul and his companions were detoured. But Romans 8:28, a scripture that people quote all the time, and we know, everybody say, we know. He's not saying we're thinking about it, we're wondering about it. He says, we know that in all things means what? All things. In all things, God works for the good. Now, most people stop right there. He works for the good. But the promise is he works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Tell your neighbor, that's you, talking about you. So here's a tough truth. The highway of life, as much as we would want it to always be smooth and straight, it's not. There's going to be hills, and there's going to be some rough spots, and there's going to be some occasional detours here and there. And, you know, I don't know about you, but when I'm trying to get somewhere, the last thing I want to find is a detour. I remember I was coming home from Oklahoma because I'd gone over there to preach, and I was trying to get back over here for the Wednesday night service. And so, man, I'm trying to make up as much time as I can. And the route the GPS took me, it took me right to a place where there was a huge detour. That GPS didn't tell me about the detour. And I mean, when I say huge, I'm talking about miles out of my way. And I was not happy about that. Well, you know, we don't like to get our plans flustered. We like to know what we want and do what we want. And we don't always appreciate God putting that detour sign right there. And so the truth of the matter is things are not always going to go the way we want them to go. And maybe you haven't found that out yet, but you're going to. And so most of us, if you've driven for very long, you've had the experience of traveling along a nice road, and suddenly here comes a sign saying something to the effect of road closed, detour ahead. So, you know, life is a whole lot like that, you know, and here's the deal. You know, usually when we're driving on the road, it might be a 15, 20, you know, 30 minute detour, maybe shorter than that. Maybe it's only a few minutes or 5 minutes or so, but the detours in life sometimes can take weeks, months, and even years. And so things seem to be going along. I mean, maybe for months and years, you've been going along with very little trouble. Things are going pretty smooth. And all of a sudden, we're confronted with a sign that says detour. Now, I'm not talking about driving. I'm talking about in life. There's something that causes you to have to detour and messes up your thoughts, your plans, maybe your agendas, and so on and so forth. And there are times when God puts a detour sign in our way, and hear what I said, in our way, because we want our way, and God says, no, you can't have it your way. This ain't Burger King. I've said it before. He ain't the Burger King. He's the bigger king. You can't have it your way. And so sometimes whenever we're insisting on doing things our way, God's got to put a big old detour there. And here's the thing. If we ignore that detour sign, we're asking for serious trouble. If we ignore that sign, you just don't know. There could be a bridge out ahead, right? So sometimes we have our plans, and they may be good plans, like the Apostle Paul's plans. They were good plans. But God either directly tells us no, or all the evidence reveals that God is telling us no. And we might feel like we know best. I mean, in this situation, you know, well, God, you know, I've been thinking about this for a long time, been planning this for a long time. And, you know, we might think we know best, that we have the right plan, but God's leading us in a different direction. I remember hearing John Bevere share the story about when he was in a church and they had this big youth thing they were going to try to do. And he started training all his young people to do these things they called parties on Friday nights. And it was really like a cell group type of thing that they were going to do. And the pastor was okay with it. I was all for it. And I mean, they worked real hard at it and everything. And then just before time to get it started, the pastor comes back and says, the Lord told me not to do that. The Lord said, we're not going to do that. And he said he was so upset. He wanted to argue with the pastor and everything else. And he was so upset. And he said, the Lord said, we're not going to do that. And he said that it was a really hard thing for him. But that's where he began to learn submission. That's when he began to learn sometimes God will put you on a detour. So, you know, think about it. God many times will tell a person to do something. He told Abraham to go sacrifice his son. But really, that's not what he wanted him to do. Right. So sometimes we feel like we know what's best and God's leading us in a different direction. So what do we learn from detours? Because if God puts detours in our life, there must be something we learn from them. What do we learn? Number one, detours appear suddenly and without warning. They appear suddenly and without warning. And so we are not always prepared with the information to prepare us against the coming detour. When I was coming back from Oklahoma, although I was taking a detour, it was crazy how they had this whole thing set up, because there were detour signs that were pointing more than one direction, I guess, depending on where you were going. Well, I'd never been down that road before, and so I didn't know where I was going. So I'm following detour signs, not knowing if it's taking me the right direction or not. And so I was not prepared. I didn't have the information. I didn't know that route. And so we're not always prepared. And in the long run, it may be better for us if we don't know what all is ahead because we couldn't handle it, right? It's like when Jesus was telling the disciples, you know, they're going to do this, they're going to do that, they're going to beat you, they're going to kill you, they're going to, you know, they're going to just persecute you, they're going to do all that. But I would tell you more, but I don't think you can handle it now. And so it might be better for us not to know. You know, sometimes when God calls you to something, well, not sometimes, always when God calls you to something, it's going to be bigger than you. And it's going to take a greater ability than what you have in the natural, right? And hear me, there will be more difficulties than you are aware of, always. Because in the midst of God taking us where he's taking us, he's getting our character ready for when we get there. The journey to where he's trying to take us is character shaping time. And sometimes, to be honest with you, sometimes he has to give us a detour because we're just not quite ready to get there yet. Think about the Israelites. They left out of Egypt. They left out, the Bible says, they left out ready for war. They were marching like an army, ready for war, and God sends them into the wilderness. So they were, I think they said, 11 days away from the promised land and spent 40 years in the wilderness. And the Bible says God led them into the wilderness. Why? Because they weren't ready for the battle that they were going to have to fight. They didn't have the character for it. They didn't have the ability and the knowledge for it. They had a slave mentality. And as they were going through the wilderness, it was showing them that they still had a slave mentality. That's why over and over again, they would cry and whine and moan and groan and say, "Did you just take us out here to kill us, Moses? We'd have been better off back in Egypt." Well, as long as you have that kind of attitude, God can't give you a promised land. So the detour, and God detoured them, the detour is also a character building time. And a learning time and a skill building time, all of those things. So again, if we knew every detail about where this detour was going to take us, we probably would ignore the detour sign. In life, those detours, as we said, they will appear suddenly. I like to say that, you know, kind of the phrase that's used is sometimes you'll get blindsided by something. When I think about some of the things that happen in life that when you're not aware of it. I remember seeing a movie years ago, and it just, this picture stuck in my mind, but this guy is walking by a wall. And just as he's walking by the wall, you never see the guy on the other side of the wall. He's just walking, minding his business. And all of a sudden you see a fist come out and get the guy right in the head and knock him down. And sometimes life is like that. Sometimes it feels like that. You don't see it coming. There's really not a whole lot of warning. And so detours appear very suddenly, and it's very important that when it is sudden, the more sudden, understand, the more sudden it is, probably the more danger on the other side of it. So sometimes God has to suddenly move, and we have to develop an ear to where we're willing to hear and obey immediately. Pastor Mike calls it unconscious obedience. Why? Again, I'll use an example. Years ago, and my parents know, you know, a man is a guy that we went to church with, and I was at his house, and he had a couple of sons, and me and the older son were out in the yard playing, doing whatever we were doing. We were, you know, young teenagers. And the younger son was watching his daddy. His daddy was underneath the car, and the car was up on a jack, and he was underneath the car working on the car, and the younger son crawled up underneath the car. And his daddy, all of a sudden, I heard him holler and called his name and tell him, "Get out from under the car." And he wasn't being nice about it, right? How many of you know sometimes you don't have time to be nice, right? You don't have time to be nice to somebody when they're standing on the street about to get run over by an 18-wheeler, right? So he hollers, "Get out from under the car." And the little boy looks at him. He's upset. And he says, "Well, why, Daddy? What'd I do?" I said, "Get out from under the car. What did I do?" And he kicked him, literally. Just so happened, his face happened to be right about where his boot was, the only place that he could. And he kicked him so hard, he kicked him out from underneath that car. And as the boy came flying out from underneath the car crying, the daddy rolls out from under that car right when the car falls to the ground. That car, he could see the car was about to fall off the jacks. He didn't have time to explain. But had he not kicked that kid right in his head and kicked him out from underneath that car, he'd have died that day. Both of them would have. Because not only would the kid have been killed, but he was in the way where the father couldn't get out. So I want to tell you that I'll never forget that as long as I live. A perfect example of unconscious obedience toward the Lord. When there's a sudden detour, understand there's probably a real danger on the other side. And the more sudden, the more intense the danger. All right. So again, sometimes everything will seem great. And the next thing, it seems like all hell broke loose in your life. I know none of y'all know about that, but I'm pretty sure there's somebody around Iowa that knows a little bit about that. Number two, we hardly ever know the length of the detour. When the highway sign, you know, points out a detour, you take it without knowing how long the detour is going to be. Now, every once in a while, I've seen some detours where they actually had signs saying how far the detour is, especially if it's one of them electronic signs. But for the most part, when you take that detour, you don't really know how far that detour is. And so when life's detours appear, we don't know how long we're going to have to endure those detours. But we are hopeful always that at any moment we can get back on the smooth road. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, you know what it does? It helps us to sharpen our vision because we're always looking ahead. We're anticipating, when can I get off of this thing? Especially if it's a bad road. Because how many of you know, really, normally detour roads, roads that people get detoured on, are not the most traveled roads, so they don't get taken care of as much. So it's kind of the same way in life. And so, again, number two, we hardly ever know the length of the detour. Number three, and by the way, that's usually people's biggest problem, because when they start whining and complaining, they're always whining and complaining about how long they've been having to deal with this issue. Number three, most detours are rough and many times winding. Again, they're not the common highway that just brings you through typically, straight through. And so I don't believe I've ever seen a great detour road. They always take you out of your way. They delay your arrival at your destination. And almost always, they have to be traveled a little slower and a little more careful. You know, I'm doing 70 on the interstate, and now I got to, you know, go down this little road, and they got me doing 45. And there's a bunch of other traffic that got detoured too, and now I'm stuck behind them, right? And so detours in life are the same way, and they require, everybody say, great patience. You might as well be patient, because you can't make it go any faster. Number four, detours actually sometimes have good points. Well, what do I mean by that? Well, I found in my experience that sometimes the most beautiful scenery is found on the detour road. It may not be the best kept road, but sometimes it's the most scenic road. And so over the hills and through valleys and so on and so forth, you'll see a lot of things, a lot of beautiful things that you won't see on the interstate. On the interstate, you're going to see a million casino and lawyer signs, you know, Morris Bart and whoever else, right? You'll see that. But man, when you take those detour roads, sometimes you see things you never saw before. You know what Pastor Cindy and I do? We literally will many times purposely go take that road that would be a detour road, because we've discovered that there's beauty there that you don't normally see on the fast lane, right? And I mean, that's one of the thrills of our life, to go find back roads. In fact, it's kind of funny thinking about it now, but we'll go somewhere, especially if we have our bicycles and we're on our bicycles, we'll go somewhere and I'll get all excited. I'll say, hey, I've never been on this road in my life. This road's been here all my life. I've never been on it. Isn't that crazy? And it's some little back gravel road somewhere back there that we never travel. And so, you know, so we've come to enjoy that. And so sometimes you just have to, you know, there's going to be detours. Well, you know, you might as well enjoy it. Get some kind of enjoyment out of it, right? And so detours sometimes do have good points. And as I said, whether you're seeing it or not, if you're reacting the right way, character is being built and you're experiencing things you could not have experienced any other way. And by the way, sometimes when detours happen, it seems so unfair. It just seems so wrong, so unfair. What did I do to deserve this? That kind of thing. And we have no idea. Sometimes it's not that you did anything to deserve it or not deserve it. Sometimes it's God saving your life. And sometimes he's wanting you to see something and learn something you couldn't learn any other way. Sometimes there's a mission for you on that detour road, because he's got somebody else on that detour road, and they need somebody to show the love of Jesus to them, because they're ready to quit. And so it is with the detour, which you are now traveling, that it may bring you to the greatest spiritual blessings of your life. And I do believe that in God's detours, again, if we react the right way, if we embrace what he's doing in our life, if we understand the scripture that we read, we're not just quoting it, but we understand that in all things, he works it for the good of those who love him and who are called according to his purposes. And if I'm called according to his purposes, he has the right to tell me to get off of my path and to get on another path. All right. Number five. Can y'all stand anymore? All right. Number five, a detour always leads to an appreciation of the good highway. So when you are trying to get somewhere, especially if the road is rough, it does lead to an appreciation of a good highway, a good road. Can you remember maybe the relief you felt when you bounced over the last stretch of a rough detour road and you made it back to the smooth highway and you were like, thank God, finally got off of that road? You know, probably the biggest, I guess, the best example I can think of is when we went to Africa, when Pastor Cindy and I went to Africa and we were riding with our missionary, Dave Soror, and he was driving us from Kenya down into Tanzania to go meet Jacob and Kim Mills down there. And now from what I understand, they have all these wonderful, beautiful, smooth blacktop roads all the way. I mean, it's just a wonderful highway. But when we went, it wasn't like that. So for a while, I was expecting it to be kind of bad. You know, I'd seen videos and all that of, you know, people traveling on them African roads. And I'm thinking, well, you know, this isn't bad at all. But then there's a detour sign. And I'm telling you, they have to have the record for the absolutely worst roads in the world. Those roads were so bad. It wasn't just like potholes. We know a little bit about potholes, but their roads had these huge, sharp rocks sticking out everywhere. And you're literally going over those, for those rocks. And Dave drives a little Subaru car. It's not like, it wasn't a big four-wheel drive truck or anything like that. It's a little Subaru car. You feel everything. And sure enough, as we're going down, and if you ever rode with Dave Soror, you'd know what I'm talking about. But the man, he's in a hurry. He's always in a hurry. And it doesn't matter if there's a dump truck in front of him, honking the horn at him. He's going to honk his little beep beep in his little Subaru and tell that dump truck to get out of his way because he's in a hurry. Right. And anybody that's ever rode with him knows that. And they'll say that. In fact, they talked about Dave Soror. Other missionaries talk about, they say, oh, yeah, yeah, that's Dave Soror. Yeah. But anyway, we got on that road and it was so bad, literally, that one of them jagged rocks poked a hole in one of the tires. So now we got a flat tire on the detour. And it wasn't too bad, though. I remember Dave, he was apologizing, saying, man, I'm so sorry about this. You know, this happened. And here was my answer. My answer was this. Hey, it's all part of the adventure. Because we made up our mind before going that this is going to be something we've never experienced before. We don't really know what we're getting into, but we made up our mind we were going to get all the joy out of it we could. We were going to enjoy this once-in-a-lifetime trip that we were getting to make. And so, but I will tell you, when we got off of that road and got back on the nice blacktop road, there was great relief. I mean, you know, my teeth could stop chattering as we're driving. And, it was rough. It was really rough. So getting back on that main road, you think to yourself, man, this is a whole lot better because that was a rough detour right there. Anybody in here ever had a rough detour? I'm not talking about just while you're driving, but just a rough detour in life. You know, hey, COVID was a rough detour for everybody, right? So it's like, you know, when you get off of that really, really rough, hard road, that thing that you've been going through, that thing that is, you know, even almost tormented you. And when things start to smooth out again and things get better, that sickness you had to deal with and you're coming through and you feel better, you're doing better. I mean, it's wonderful. You know, it's just a wonderful thing. And you're not thankful so much for the pain you went through, but you are thankful for the goodness of God and the relief that you feel, right? And so it's like the one man, he says, you know, I really don't like fighting with my wife. I really don't. But I sure do love to make up. Pastor Mike talks about the man who kept hitting himself with the hammer. Somebody asked him, he says, why do you do that? Why are you hitting yourself with the hammer? He said, because it feels so good when I stop. So in life, the dark days lead to an appreciation of the bright ones. And that's really the main point. The detour always leads to an appreciation of the good highway. Because how many of you know we can take for granted the good days? Man, we can take for granted the blessings of God, the wonderful things that God has put in our life. We take people for granted. We can take, listen, I say it all the time, but we could take being able to come to this church with freedom for granted. In fact, so many people take it for granted, they don't even bother to show up. They just figure when I want to go, it'll be there. Am I right? We take all the blessings of God for granted many times. And so, you know, understand trouble and sorrow and trials are never fun, but boy, they do help us to take full advantage of the good times when the good times are there. You never know how good you have it till you don't have it good. All right. Number six, on a detour, you drive more or less by faith. You know, the detour road is one that you have not traveled before. It's kind of like Abraham, and God said, leave your land and I'm going to bring you to a place. Now, he didn't tell him where he was bringing him. He said, but I want you to leave your land and I want you to go where I'm telling you to go. Basically, I'm going to give you directions along the way, but you're not getting all the details up front. And so a detour road is one that you've not traveled before. So you have to follow the signs which are supposed to bring you back to the regular highway. Now, again, Romans 8:28, we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. And if we love him and are called according to his purpose, we will follow him. And here's the other thing. Jesus said, but if you're going to follow him, there's some other prerequisites. You got to disown yourself, deny yourself, disown yourself. You got to be willing to take up your cross daily. In other words, crucify your own will, your own desires, your own agendas, all of that stuff. You have to deny yourself, disown yourself, acknowledge that he is your owner. He is your master. He is the one who calls the shots in your life now. And when you are that kind of a person, you're going to go where God tells you to go, do what God tells you to do, knowing that he's got your good in his intentions. And so for those who have been called according to his purpose, he knows exactly what we need and where we have to go to fulfill that purpose. So we have that promise from God in the time of trouble that he is going to work out everything for our good, that this thing is going to end up being good. Again, I think about Pastor Holton, I think about the misery that he was going through after he was told that he was going to die and that nobody had ever lived more than 10 years with this disease he had and the misery and the torment and everybody he knew, everybody, including his preacher friends, telling him he's going to die. It was a hard thing. I remember him describing how he passed out in the pulpit because God told him, don't go home because if you go home, your family will kill you with sympathy. That's what he said. If you go home, your family will kill you with sympathy. I remember talking to a man. I went to pray for him, and his family had put him on hospice, and we know what happens there. And I went to pray for him, and I told him, do you believe that God is going to heal you? He said, yes, I do. I believe that God will heal me, but they keep putting these drugs in me. I don't want this, until they finally killed him. Now, I'm pretty adamant about that now because but I will tell you that all they know how to do is, you know, put medicine in you and overdose you to let you die without so much pain, but they're killing you. It's euthanasia. So, and I remember thinking about that. That tormented me, knowing this guy didn't want this happening, but his family had control and was forcing it on him. So we have this promise of God that in the time of trouble, he's going to work out those things for our good. If we will trust him, if we will do it his way, he's going to cause good to come out of this thing. Good, not just for us, but good for those around us. And so it's not, by the way, not for our pleasure. It's not even for our prosperity or for our popularity, but it's for our good. And again, God knows what's good for us better than we know, right? I don't want to settle for what I want that I think is good. I only want what God says is good because I know that his plan is way better than mine. Amen. And so what options do you have when we encounter the detours of life? What are our options? Number one, well, you can be stubborn. You can take on the same kind of heart that the Israelites took on. You can turn around and go back. Now, the Israelites didn't actually turn around and go back physically, but they did in their heart, right? They already went back to Egypt. They said, I would rather be a slave than to be out here going through this detour. this is not what I thought it was going to be, right? And they were griping and complaining. And here we are out here having to eat this stuff. We don't even know what it is. That's what it is. It's called, what is it? Manna. What is it? We're out here eating this stuff day in, day out. Now, it's like they never even noticed. They didn't have to work for their food. They didn't have to go kill it. They didn't have to do anything. They just, God provided supernatural provision every day. And their clothes never wore out. Their shoes never wore out. God really babied them. And all they could do was gripe and complain. And so you can take that attitude and you can turn around and go back. Anybody know anybody in the Christian walk who ever just said, I had enough of this, and they turned around and they went back? We all know people like that, right? Some people who they're just bent on taking the easy way, they're going to find themselves backtracking. And what they're going to find is the easy way wasn't the easy way. I ignored a detour sign. This wasn't too far from my house one day. I ignored a detour sign. I saw it and I thought, oh, well, surely they must have just forgot it. It looked like an old sign to me. So surely they must have forgot that detour sign. So I just, went bombing down that old country road only to find myself coming up on a bridge that wasn't there. Right. And so then I was upset because I was almost to the end of the road when I ran into the bridge, or what used to be a bridge. And now I had to backtrack and go miles and miles back and waste my time even more. So we can backtrack if we want to, I guess. If we ignore that detour sign, we're going to probably have to backtrack. Number two, you could take the detour and you can do what most of us do. You can grumble and complain about it the whole time. Is there anybody that's ever been super happy about a detour? Especially when you were in a hurry trying to get somewhere, right? So you can take the detour and you can grumble and complain about it the whole time. It's the same way in life. Can I say I'm still working on this one? Anytime you're around my wife and you hear her say, okay, Chuck, she's talking about Charlie Brown. Okay. That's kind of the code word. To let me know you're complaining too much, you're griping, now you know. So there's a whole lot of folks who do this, and they press on through their troubles. They do, they get through it, but they gripe and complain and are miserable the whole time. And so as a result of this complaining attitude, now their condition is worse than it was when they first got on the detour. And their own troubles are now intensified because, honestly, now nobody wants to be around them. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And then number three, and this is the one I believe we're supposed to do. You can accept the detours of life and not let them steal your joy. Now, I do believe that there is the principle of resisting the devil and submitting to God. I think we have to, we need to be careful that we're not just letting life take us somewhere that God is not taking us. Sometimes it's not always God putting the detour. Sometimes that devil's trying to get you off the path God has you on, and he's got his own detour signs, right? So you need to make sure if you're going to take the detour, make sure it's God putting the detour sign and it's not the devil. But if you take the detour that God gives you, like the Apostle Paul did, I want to tell you, there's going to be great joy on the other end of that. God has a mission for you on the other end of that. I was reading somebody put a post today that they said, I never go to McDonald's. They said, I never go to McDonald's. And so they wanted to make it clear. They weren't promoting McDonald's, but they said, I never go to McDonald's, but I felt I was supposed to go to McDonald's. Went to McDonald's. There was somebody there that was hungry. They needed food. And so they said, well, I'll buy you breakfast. No problem. So they went in, asked them what they wanted, bought breakfast. But while waiting in line, talking, found out that this person is dealing with cancer. And so life is hard, but now they're also dealing with cancer. So they said, I was so proud of them. I'm like, go COTP. But they said, in the line, waiting to order their food, they laid hands on them right there and took authority over that cancer right in front of God and everybody. Amen. That's what we want, man. That's who we're supposed to be, right? And so it was a little bit of a detour. It was something out of the ordinary. Personally, had I not known the whole story, I would have thought, no, that was the devil sending you to McDonald's. Well, I've learned my lesson about that place. That food's terrible for you, right? But God had something for them to do. And I believe, being that God had something for them to do there, he blessed that McDonald's food where it's not going to kill them, right? So, again, you can accept the detours of life and not let that steal your joy. The Apostle Paul adopted that attitude. And, you know, personally, listen, the Apostle Paul, my goodness, I've said this before and used this example before, but he suffered terribly. I mean, he suffered terribly. You know, I haven't even, as a pastor, you know, I over time felt sorry for myself about this or that, or somebody said this or that, or they slandered my name or whatever, or they, you know, or they misunderstood something and left, and they're offended at me for, in my mind, no reason, whatever the case is. But then I read the Apostle Paul's list here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23b through 31, it says, I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. I hadn't even hit any part of that list yet, really. Five times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. Five times with a cat of nine tails. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned, and many people believe that when he was stoned, literally God raised him from the dead, because when you stoned a person, you stoned them till dead. The last stone crushed their skull. I mean, you didn't just get up from a stoning. So many believe that he literally was raised from the dead right there. Three times I was shipwrecked. I've never been shipwrecked. Almost did sink my boat with Daddy and Corey one day out of Toledo Bend, though. Dirt Dobber built a nest inside my bilge pump, and I forgot to put the plug in. So we were sinking. I mean, it was getting serious out there. As close as I've ever been to shipwreck, though, right? And we made it. We made it through. We got through it. But if I were writing this, that'd be about the only thing I could put in here, you know? Spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, in danger from false brothers. I've labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Now, I'm thinking sometimes the pressure and concern I feel for one church can seem overwhelming. This is a man who's over who knows how many works around, and he's concerned because he loves the people, and the pressure and the concern that he feels for them. I mean, that is just that one thing to me is overwhelming. So he goes on and says, who is weak and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin and I do not inwardly burn? In other words, I care about these people so much. When I see someone who is weak, when I see someone who backslides and they fall into sin, it destroys me on the inside. And then he says, the God and Father of the Lord Jesus, who is to be praised forever, knows that I'm not lying. Now here he is, given this list of all these horrific things that he's gone through, but then he ends it with, the God and Father of the Lord Jesus, who is to be praised forever. No matter what I'm going through, he's to be praised. It doesn't matter if I'm shipwrecked, he's to be praised. It doesn't matter if I'm being beaten with a cat of nine tails, he's to be praised. It doesn't matter if somebody's stoning me or beating me with rods. And I'm thinking, man, what a powerful, powerful perspective, that he was not going to allow the detours to steal the joy that he had. And then he has to end it by saying, he knows that I'm not lying, because he knows that some of the people reading this going to think he's lying. No way anybody could have went through all that. His body and his mind and his emotions were put through the ringer, but he pressed on with joy. Someone asked David Livingstone one day, the Christian explorer and minister and, you know, missionary in Africa, which verse of the Bible meant the most to him. And without hesitation, his answer was, of course, he's quoting King James, and his answer was, lo, I'm with you always. I'm with you always. And so think about that for a moment. Even Even when you're on a detour, understand if God puts you on the detour, He went with you on the detour. He's with you always. And so listen, there will always be detours of potential disappointment in our life. And no one in life is free from the temptation to feel disappointed. We can feel disappointed in others. We can feel disappointed in ourselves. We can feel disappointed in the failure of some plan that we had. There must be a constant battle against this enemy of disappointment. And by the way, what it really is the spirit of despair. It's a spirit. And so in the face of disappointment, we can find ourselves getting bitter. We can find ourselves getting even cynical, where we don't trust anybody and we don't like anybody, right? And we just, you know, we were reading this morning, Pastor Cindy was reading a interesting history story that I didn't know about. We all talk about Einstein and how Einstein was so smart. But she's reading the story about this guy, and it was like the late 1800s. Do you remember his last name? I don't remember his name because I've never heard of the man. But yet he was the most intelligent man that we know of that ever lived. He had the highest IQ of anyone who's ever lived. And yet toward the end of his life, because he became so bitter and so cynical, because he didn't really fit in and so on and so forth, he became so bitter and so cynical that he didn't want anything to do with people. He just wanted to be by himself. Now, this is a guy who had, I believe they said, twice the IQ of Einstein. Einstein, one of the smartest people that, you know, we know of. And so I want to tell you, think about all the potential that was in that guy. Think about all the inventions that could have been in that guy. Think about all the secrets, the hidden secrets, the unknown discoveries that were hidden in that guy. And all that potential was wasted. And then he ended up dying at an early age, in his 40s. Again, we can allow that disappointment or those feelings of disappointment to cause us to be bitter and just get to where we just don't want anything to do with anybody. And so in the face of disappointment, in the face of the spirit of despair, we have to hold on to the joy. It is the joy of the Lord that will get us through, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And I want you to know, my life has not always been the way I wanted it to be. I've had many, many times I felt disappointed because of circumstances and sometimes because of the probably unrealistic expectations I might have had for some people or something like that. But in it all, I'm very aware of God's love and His grace in my own life. And so even those detour times, understand they all have a redeeming quality if you will allow them to. And it causes me to lean more heavily on God. And so because of God, and because God is one who never fails and He never disappoints His children, I've said it before, but never let disappointment disappoint you, right? Don't let disappointment, a feeling of disappointment, disappoint you from who God said you are and what He has appointed you to be. Only God has the authority to disappoint somebody He's appointed. And so God is the one who never fails and disappoints His children. Again, Romans 8:28, we're ending with this. We're just going to read it one more time. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things, say all things, work together for the good to them that love God, not the rest of the world doing whatever they want to do, and not even people who sit in church and just do whatever they want to do, but those who truly love God and who are called according to His purpose. Amen. Is there anybody in here who loves God? Is there anybody in here who knows you're called according to His purpose? Then you don't have to, listen, you don't have to be disappointed because of a detour. Now tell your neighbor, the detours are going to come. You just roll right through them. Father, thank You so much for the opportunity to be here. Thank You, Lord, that Your presence is here because Your people are here. And I thank You for the anointing that's upon each and every one of their lives. I thank You, Father, that when we come together to worship and to praise You, Lord, You show up because we're here. Lord, You showed up because we showed up. And Lord, You know the longing in the heart of Your people. So tonight, God, as the word was delivered, I know that, God, anytime a word like this is delivered, it's because there are people in here that are either in it or they'll be in it soon. But Father, I thank you for your grace that carries us through every situation, that carries us through every detour in life. Father, I know that, Lord, the next time someone in here gets that fist in the side of the head when they're not looking, God, they get blindsided by something they didn't see coming. Lord, there's some kind of a detour that turns them a different direction or messes up their plans and so on and so forth. Father, I pray that you would bring this word back to us and that you would help us to remember that in the detour, it doesn't have to be a destructive thing. That in the detour, it can be a life-building thing. That in the detour, we can experience joys and learn things we could not learn any other way. Help us to appreciate those times knowing that you are with us even in the midst of it. And we thank you for it, Father. Thank you. Bless your people. Keep them. Cause your face to shine upon them. Be gracious to them. Look upon them with your favor. Fill them with your peace in Jesus' name.
Pastors Dwayne and Cindy would like to thank you for joining us today. We trust that your life has been enriched by the Word of God. We want to encourage you to get plugged into a life-giving church in your area. If you'd like to contact us, you may do so at area code 337-582-2090. If you'd like to write to us or send financial support for this program, you may send it to 350 Highway 165, Iway, Louisiana, 70647. You may also email us at cotp@centurytel.net. Church of the Promise is located approximately 10 miles east of Lake Charles and 1/2 mile south of I-10 at exit 44. Our service times are 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 o'clock on Wednesday evenings. Until next time, remember, you are loved and your life is worth living.